welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 81. Goodness. May 24th, 2004, for the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind, of course. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, at this time. Let me present to you a gentleman who I picked up and brought over here today. he had a guitar with him, believe it or not, which he does not play. But
I do not.
I don't know why he had a guitar. Anyway, here he is, Don Shaw.
Yeah, what a deal, man. This guitar has been an ongoing deal, hasn't it? A restringing project in hand. We'll talk about that sometime.
Okay, and with him, who I picked up today also, and I brought all the way from way out there. What do you call that place?
It's Deep Peavy.
Deep Peavy Switch.
Okay. Yeah. I live so far down in there, they don't even put the switch on it. It's just
really. Don Patterson, really. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, hey. Show number 81. You know, when I started this, I thought it was just going to be a part-time job. It seems like it's got pretty full-time.
We all did. My name, by the way, is Tom Houston, but ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer of The Blind Handyman, here he is, Phil Parr.
Well, he didn't bring me over here.
No.
I think we some idea about
coming to you.
Coming to my home. Well, we're all here at my home. Boy, it's as my first wife was here, she'd say, it's hotter than it's been to be. And it's done got hot in East Texas. We're going to hit 90 today.
Yeah, we are.
And you realize this is just the 24th of May, so it's going to be. But remember, guys, last summer it never hit 100. Remember that, Shaw boy?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, because you know, I was thinking about that because this coming July the 2nd will be my 7th year in this area, the anniversary, and on that summer, we were having 107 days, 108 degree days, I think.
Man, that was a hot summer.
Yes, it was.
But last summer, it never hit 100, and it hadn't hit 90 this year. It's going to. I'll go check here in a minute and see what it is. Anyway, we're all gathered here. Soft drinks in hand.
Yeah, right.
Stringing Don Shaw's guitar. Yeah, Don has this old guitar that his father,
he left to me.
That's my dad's golden guitar. Remember that?
That old guitar.
Ain't no money in it. And it'll lead you. So we've been trying to put strings on it. He had two sets. And he figured out of these two sets, we could come up with a set of strings, and there wasn't. There was a fourth string was missing.
Missing a string, yeah.
So we've got him a fourth, and we're going to try to string it up to this little classical wide neck guitar. And we were doing it for Andrea.
She's ready to play some guitar.
Andrea's granddaughter. She's ready to learn to play. And this will be an easy guitar to play. So that's our project. This afternoon, when we get through, we're going to string that guitar, and
hopefully, no string, no more. You know, these strings are still brand new in the package, but they probably were bought in the late 60s or early 70s, so, and have just never been opened.
I forgot a deal. I plugged the phone, didn't I? Did you unplug your phone back there?
Yeah.
Well, you already unplugged your phone. Yeah, I forgot to unplug mine.
Well, it's unplugged.
Anyway, Don Patterson spent the morning riding around on his tractor. Pulling up trees.
Yes, sir. I just attack the underbrush.
Just attack it. Got a rake on the back of your tractor?
Yes, it's called a landscape rake or a rock rake, some people call them.
Now, this just has tines on it that stick down. This doesn't operate on your three-point hookup.
You pick it up. It's on the three-point hook. The three-point hookup, but it's not motorized.
Okay.
Because you're not using your rear PTO or anything. It's just weight and the tines. It weighs probably 500 pounds.
What?
And when you set it down, buddy, it's going to drag up something.
Is it on wheels?
No. There are some gauge wheels the gauge wheels are an accessory that you can do. If you were going to do some real heavy-duty, very precise landscaping, you could actually set the height. I bought it without the wheels, and I'm just using the weight.
So, in other words, when you take it where it's going to be, then you just unhook the tractor and it just sits there. You can't move it.
When I store it, I set it on some 2x6 blocks. And
how do you get it up on the 2x6 blocks?
Well, I just put it up there with the tractor, you know, would lift it up and then set it down and then disconnect it. But now they had a real problem. It took about three guys at the dealership to put it on there for me because it's, you know, I've got the smallest tractor probably they make. And this is the smallest rake we could find, but I've examined it, and it I may have to have like an overhead hoist or something to help me get it off, you know, at some point if I get tired. I mean, I've got it figured out now because I have a nice big jack, a big agricultural farm jack.
Which would work, wouldn't it?
But it's top heavy because the it wants to lean forward when you let it off, and so then all the weight's on all of your connections. So.
Yeah, that's... Could be dangerous, of course.
I got a question.
All right.
If you're dragging this rake along, let's say just leveling out some ground.
Right.
And there had been some trees cut, maybe years ago, and let's say there was a pretty good sized root just like under the surface of the ground, and you was tooling along there and caught that big root, and with this rake, I just wonder what would happen.
Well, I've done it. I mean, it'll pull them up. Or, you know, like I say, my little tractor is it's plenty powerful. But it doesn't. It's weight. It only weighs like about 1,200 pounds. So I have hooked things that have stopped me. And also I have my turf tires. Now I have a whole set of ag tires and wheels that I'm going to change, which would give me more traction. But with my turf tires, I actually snagged a root and it just stops.
Stop.
Me. I mean, it just I'm start
the
spinning
question.
The wheel.
This boy has gotten into suburban living. We got the turf tires, and then we have the what are the other kind?
Bar tires.
Yeah. We have the good heavens.
All this tractor
stuff.
It's
wild.
I love it. I've had a great time.
It's suburbia now. You know, farmers used to have a mule and a plow. And they growed enough to last through the winter.
Well, you know, it's kind of like you get into that, like you can plant your tomatoes, and I figure the last, you know, if I plant them, they'll cost me $15,000 or $16,000 if you figure the cost of the tractor, where you can hire somebody to come and till up the land or go to Brookshire's and
That'd
buy
be the
a couple
thing to
of
do, them. Go to Brookshire's and buy some tomatoes.
And so... It's fun.
Esther, dear, would you marry me? Every time I think of tomatoes, I think Aubrey Tips.
There was a human interest story in the Lufkin Daily News this weekend, as a matter of fact, on a farmer that was using an old mule and the old farm machinery to farm and grow stuff.
Yep.
And I think his mule had died or something, but he was still finding a way to get it done without using any kind of modern equipment.
I'll be darned. I wonder how he's doing it.
I don't know.
Which reminds us, of course, of the story that the guy's mule died and he had his wife pulling the plow, you know, and they got to the end of the row and she was running through these sticker bushes and he said, well, why didn't you turn around? She said, don't you know how to say whoa?
Oh, man.
That's why he told me to bring that up.
It is not.
Has this been staged? Did y'all rehearse?
Donna Parks always accuses me of changing the subject so I'll know a joke about the subject. And I don't do that. Anyway, read some email, Thomas.
Okay, this is from the list. We'll call this list mail today.
List mail.
I'm looking for a reason to justify buying an electric saw. Using a handsaw is pretty straightforward, and one can keep track of things with a freehand feeling where the blade is headed. One can also sense where the blade is with a finger a few millimeters away from it. What about a whirling or reciprocating electric saw blade? For straightforward cutting of wood pieces, I used a nifty movable guide. Wasn't mine, though. What about cutting a slot in the middle of a flat tabletop, say 1 foot long slot by two inches wide? Using a guide is not as clear. So do folks use handsaws for such work?
Cutting a slot. Does he mean cutting the board in two?
He said, what about cutting a slot in the middle of a flat tabletop?
That'd be a router.
Well, it'd be a router or what they call a dado blade.
Yeah.
A dado blade you need a table saw, and a dado blade is two blades together, and they're kind of angled funny where you can angle them. You can get an adjustable dado blade, or I guess you can get fixed, or you can kind of make a dado blade. If you had two saw blades, you can put a couple of flat washers between them and make yourself a dado blade. But I've got an adjustable one that you can make, and you can cut a slot probably an inch wide. In other words, you'd lower the table saw blade lower than the thickness of the board you're cutting through, run it across there, and it'll just cut a trench in this board for you. But that's you're into some.
Well, he did mention a reciprocating saw that after you got started. I mean, you're still going to have a hole there to, you know, either drill or to get your router. But I'd say a deal like that, wouldn't you think a router?
Router will do it.
Problem. Yeah.
If you've got the right router blade, you can run it across there and it'll cut you. I've got one in my router right now, my router table, that'll cut you just a little trench in a piece of board, if that's what you wanted. If you wanted to do a mortise and tenon joint that we've talked about. You could, but he said cut a slot.
Cut a slot. So,
so I don't know what he wants to do.
Well, and so the answer to the question, do folks use hand saws for such work would be no. Probably.
I don't know how you do it.
Could I mean there again?
You drilled a hole. You used a keyhole saw.
Like a big keyhole saw, right?
Would work. But.
And actually, I've with my limited vision, I do very well with a keyhole saw because they're kind of slow cutting.
Yeah,
and you
kinda
can stay real accurate. You can. I can hold a keyhole saw on the line pretty good if you had any vision. See, we don't know.
But you'd have to if you're going to do it. You need something to be up against to.
Right.
But I'll tell you, those little hands sounds like one place here you may be talking about. You've seen those little what they call them. Saber saws, a little saw you hold in your hand.
Yeah.
Man, those
jigsaw,
suckers.
Jigsaw.
Those are hard to work with because they shake so bad.
They do.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them, and I cannot cut a straight line because your hand is just...
Yeah. They're hard to hold on.
God, they're hard to hold.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know, sighted people, especially if you put them down on something, they're jumping like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know how anybody cuts anything with the damn things. I hate them. In fact, you can have mine.
Anyway, that was from Charles.
I don't know how you do it. Charles who?
He didn't say.
Just a Charles from New York or who?
I think it is.
Don't know. I like your mic at the level I have it now better.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you sound better.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Tom.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
You love that mic, and you know it.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I have a small linoleum problem.
All right.
That was just brought to my attention. A little late, but I think it's repairable. Along the combination shower tub, the linoleum has kind of peeled away from the floor where the linoleum meets the tub.
Yep.
I felt the floor, and there don't seem to be any damage to the material just below the linoleum.
Yep.
So I need to glue the linoleum back down and caulk it along the tub again.
Yep.
It came unglued about a half an inch to 3/4 away from the tub and about 8 inches along the tub. Any ideas?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, we'll just get some good glue and stick it back down. What I'd like to do is stick it back down, caulk it, and then put a piece of cord around there. That's what I'd do. But I don't know what would you tie the cord around to? Because if he's up against wood, you could nail the cord around down.
You could nail it down.
Just tack it down and with some little finishing nails. But any kind of good glue, I mean, they go to the hardware store and tell the guy you want to glue down linoleum.
Yeah, and then they make some trim. Now it's not even like quarter round. You could get something that's like an inch wide and flat and even kind of made out of plastic.
I think
that's maybe around some place where you were using a lot of water or rubber. They make a lot of rubber trims for high moisture areas, especially where people you see it a lot in public buildings.
It'd probably
buildings,
be even better would be rubber, wouldn't
people
it?
People that mop and stuff.
Yeah.
And man, they got glue now.
I was going to say glue
can,
it to the
that you can pick up a Volkswagen with. Glue something. So I wouldn't worry about Nate.
I would glue it to the side of the tub or shower or whatever.
I would glue my linoleum and then immediately I would put this trim on it. And then you might want to put a couple of weights, something I don't know what you have, a flower pot on. In this area to hold it, and stay off
for
of
a couple
it,
of days and,
cut,
and
yeah. 12, 24 hours.
And, but if the floor is not damaged, there's no reason why. Yeah, man, I went in our favorite hardware store Saturday, and there wasn't anybody there in there waiting on people but Paul and his wife.
My goodness.
Wow.
That's unusual.
Their business must be, at Home Depot and what's it, Lowe's.
And then, and they had moved off into the clothing, sports clothing and all that, and hunting gear, and Brookshire's helped. Didn't do them any favors selling deer feeders and all that. And then Academy is coming, so it might be retirement for Paul.
No. You got to realize that he's supporting three families out of that store. You don't know where those damn boys were.
Well, Emily and I talked about it, and I said, I wonder what would Jeffrey do? Could he go back?
I don't know. Surely they'd hire him as manager of Academy or something.
Hey, there you go.
I don't know what he'd do, but did you know that Paul has a horse out there at Jeffrey's?
Yes, I did.
You did know that?
Yeah. He,
you were aware of that. I just can't see Paul on a horse.
I think he's quite a horseman, quite a head in his time,
I suggested XM Radio for his horse.
Yeah.
He didn't think much of it.
The old XM.
Well, I think his horse is pretty high-spirited. That kind of concerned Emily why he bought such a rank horse. I think this horse is rather undisciplined. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he said Saturday that he was going to ride down and visit you, and I said, well, go down there. He's always got a cold beer. Don't worry about that.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
He's going to ride down. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, tell me this. What's the stuff called which is glued to the edges of press board to seal it? It's not veneer or molding, I think. Or I don't know. Anybody know that?
I don't got no clue.
Sorry.
Press board. It's hard. That's kind of vague. I mean, it is. It could be veneer. It could be formica. It could be molding, trim.
I don't have any idea. I don't know what his question is, really.
Yeah.
What he's, you know, kind of. I don't know. That's elusive. Maybe somebody will know. What are we good answers to these questions? We ask a lot of questions. We never get any answers, do we? You people out there, shape up. You know.
See what happens here.
What?
Talk about unrehearsed questions.
That's
now.
All right.
Well, you know, we don't want to do the show before we start.
We don't. That's a fact.
You know what the big guy says.
Well, that's what we try not to do.
That's right.
The show. All right. Guest today, Donald.
Is Eric Davis, and he's going to talk to us, visit with us for a little while about the old computer.
Have we had him before?
We
have not had him, and what does he do? He's a computer specialist.
He builds computers, does networking. He's Microsoft certified, even.
We need all the help we can get.
Eric
Davis, our guest. Back with Eric Davis and all of us silly guys in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Can be heard at new times in new places on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, we are back to talk with a list member that's been on the list for a while, the computer man, Mr. Eric Davis. How are you doing today, Eric?
Doing fine, Don. How are you?
Oh, man, we're doing good. We said, well, we need to call you up, and you need to talk to us and tell us some of what you know about computers and building computers and things like that.
Well?
Yes, sir. First of all, where are you? Where are you?
A little town called Logansport in the state of Indiana.
Logansport, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it. It must be a pretty small town.
Oh, the last time I saw a population figure, it was around 16,000, but we've grown a little bit since then.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that the last population figure I saw was about 8 years ago.
Have you lived there all your life?
Well, I was born and raised here, and then I went to Ball State, which is in Muncie, Indiana. Then I graduated from Ball State and moved to Florida for a year and then moved back up here.
So you've been a Hoosier all your life?
I'm afraid to say so.
I'm a Hoosier who's blue through and through, and my heart is yearning. You're back home in Indiana. I love that song.
They sing it every year before the Indy 500.
They do, don't they? So what age are you, sir?
28.
28. Right. Just a child.
A mere child.
A mere child. Well, that's good. Anyway, so you work for whom now?
Myself.
You work for yourself?
Good as any.
Well, that's good as any. That's good enough, working for yourself.
For sure.
And you do what?
Well, I do everything from basic support for people who call me up and need help to going into a corporation and helping them design their network or building them a server or a workstation for their computer systems. I also build systems for people's homes or upgrade the systems they have. Just whatever a customer needs, I'll do for them.
Now, we're not talking for blind people. We're talking for business community or people in general.
I'm talking for anyone who needs it. Blind, sighted, anything.
You don't really care. As long as they got the money, you got the time, right?
Well, if they want to spend the money on a custom computer, I'm willing to do it for them.
Yeah. Do you have a problem finding work, or you have all the work you need?
Well, since I'm just getting started, I haven't really advertised very much.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that I was looking for a job, and I decided that I would make my own job.
Uh-huh.
So I got to a point where I put myself out on the market and started handing out business cards, and here in about a month or so, I'm going to really start advertising and probably end up getting myself swamped.
Probably so. Did you cast about for a job before you made this decision? I mean, did you?
Well, when I got the idea was I was doing technical support for Freedom Scientific in Florida, and they downsized. So I had worked there for about 4 months, and it showed me that I could do a lot more than what my original qualifications said I could do.
Now, you were doing support for them. Did you have to live down there to do it, or
yeah,
could you do
I
it
did.
From New York?
My whole family, we moved down there in February, at the beginning of February of 2003.
Uh-huh.
And it was my wife, he was three then, our three-year-old son at the time, and our two-week-old infant.
And so you worked there a while, and they laid you off.
I worked there for 3 months and 3 weeks.
And they said we're going to downsize,
actually, what was said to me, I was called. I thought everything was going great.
Uh-huh.
I was called into the office, and I was told, due to the fact that the customers are not buying the product, your job position has been eliminated. I'm sorry, take a day, and then tomorrow go look for another job.
Man, after you'd moved to Florida.
After I had moved to Florida.
From where?
From Indiana.
Okay.
Came down and helped me move. And
did they move you to Florida?
My parents did.
No, I'm saying, did Freedom Scientific pay to move you to Florida?
They gave me a small amount.
A moving allowance of some kind.
Right, but my parents basically covered the bulk of the expenses.
And you thought, well, this is going to be my job from now on, because there's always going to be a Freedom Scientific, there's always going to be a JAWS, they'll always need me. And so you worked there 3 months, and they, boop, you were gone.
Well, actually, what I figured is I would do my best to keep the job and leave the rest up to the man upstairs, I guess.
Were you last hired? I mean, who else did they lay off? Just you?
They laid off approximately, if you include the contract workers that they got rid of, approximately 40 people.
Wow. Were you product-specific, or did you handle all of the...
I was pretty much everything.
Okay.
I handled mostly software, because of my Microsoft certifications.
Right.
They put me basically in the software queue, but it was not an uncommon occurrence for me to get other calls. So
well,
I broadened my knowledge base and learned a lot more about a lot of things.
Not that you should be mollycoddled because you're blind, but I guess that sort of thing happens to blind and sighted people alike.
Yeah,
right.
But that was still a tough nut to, you know, I'm sure that you...
It was a pretty bitter pill to swallow, but, you know, I didn't get where I am today by sitting and dwelling on what could have been, so I just decided to pick myself up and move on.
Well, it's actually, you know, I can say this now that I'm 63. Having this happen to you at the age it happened to you is you're going to look back and go, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Probably.
I guarantee it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, I had basically the same thing happen to me, but I was 38.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared me to death because I was almost 40 and out of work. They just came in one day and said, this radio station is too big for a blind person to handle. I'm going to fire you. And my friend Tom Houston said, well, if it's too big for him, it's too big for me, too. I'm leaving. And so we were both out of work, and we went and got a case of beer and talked about it.
Yep.
But so you're just getting started doing what you're going to do. Is anyone else in your town doing what you do?
Not exactly. And the reason I said it that way is they are not doing as many things as I am able to do.
Mm-hmm.
What they are doing is they're sighted people.
Uh-huh.
Who don't quite have the perspective on adaptive technology that I do. And they also, some of them don't do networking. Maybe a couple of them do, but there's not very many computer people here in town.
Well, there's not going to be enough people who need adaptive technology to support you, though. You're going to have to...
Oh, I know that.
You know, you're going to have to do...
But there is one thing. I wonder if you've considered, or I mean, I'm sure you've considered lots, but some major institutions, i.e. Universities, colleges, or school districts who need a in-house person who's knowledgeable of networking and even like in the administrative end of it. Have you checked into that?
Yeah, I've put my resume out there. I haven't gotten anything back.
Because one of our colleagues here does that very thing.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday on the phone, that adaptive technology, man. What a deal.
Well, like I said on the phone to you, Don, I didn't, you know, I don't consider that a mainstay of the business.
Yeah.
I would consider that one of the areas which I could branch into,
but
because of knowing how to support it and set it up.
Right. Of course, there's also law enforcement agencies and attorneys.
Right.
Because all attorneys' research now is that you don't do it with books anymore. You do it here with a thing called Westlaw.
Right.
And, you know, my wife has 7 or 8 computers all networked together. She can come home and work in her office computer from her house.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we're pretty computer savvy, but of course we had to have somebody set this up for us. I would say lawyers.
Right.
You know,
my
sister
just so happens to be one.
Do what now?
My sister just so happens to be one.
Well, good. So you can get her set up, and then you'll know a lot about Westlaw and all that.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're so you can
and before we get away from this, I'm sure if someone on the list, either list, Handyman or Blind Like Me, just happened to need a custom computer, I'm sure if they would email you for a fee, you'd be happy to get together with them and build them one up, huh?
Yeah, I would even be happy to send them out a idea of a system, just a basic idea, so that they would get an idea of the components that I use.
And the price and,
right.
And all that sort of thing.
Right.
Very good.
Well, you'll do fine if you want to. You know, you won't have any problem. Now, you went to school where to learn this?
Well, I went to Ball State for a general studies degree, but I actually got my computer certifications from Ivy Tech, which is the Indiana Technical College.
Mm-hmm. Were you, how many blind people have gone through that college? Just you?
Well, there's been a lot of blind people go through it, but not very many that have went through and actually gotten the certification that I've got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that ended up getting what you got.
A couple people that took the courses. There was one lady that's partially sighted that holds the same certifications that I do. but there was no one that was totally blind like myself.
Was this sponsored by the state, like the state agency, and or, like you're saying, Microsoft certification? Were y'all, did y'all have a trainer, that was affiliated with Microsoft?
Yeah, we had our instructor was certified by Microsoft to be a Microsoft trainer.
Okay.
Voc Rehab did help me with my education.
Right. So Ball State, that's where in Indiana?
Muncie,
Indiana. Weren't they a basketball team powerhouse at one time, Houston?
Maybe.
I think so.
I think maybe they play a little basketball up there.
Yeah, that's IU that you're thinking of, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know them, but...
Everybody's heard of Bobby Knight. He's at Texas Tech now. But.
Y'all are glad, probably.
But actually, you would know Ball State more from David Letterman. He graduated from
okay.
there.
Oh, right. Right. Did you're he? Right. I hadn't thought of that.
David Letterman graduated Ball State?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
He was a C student all the way through.
He was.
And now he has a scholarship for those folks who just ascribe to be C students.
It's just, it's called the David Letterman Scholarship, huh?
Yes, actually it is.
That's amazing. I love it. David Letterman is so. David Letterman is so funny. Anyway, so you, this was a 4-year program, 2 years, or what?
Well, I got my general studies degree, which was actually 4 years, and then my certifications took about 16 or 18 months altogether. But I did that at the same time when I was finishing up my bachelor's.
So you're ready. I mean, you've got all that, you know it.
I don't know it all. Nobody does.
Well, nobody does, but you should be. You're ready to go. I mean, you've got an ad in the Yellow Pages. I mean, you.
That's what I was mentioning, that I'm actually, in about a month, maybe 2 months, I'm going to start advertising. I'm going to get together a couple radio commercials and newspaper.
Well. You write the copy and send it to me, and I'll do it for you and email it back to you, okay?
Okay.
I'm a radio announcer guy.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Phil Parr, they used to call me Gordon Goodvoice. That would be me. Yeah, you write the copy and
among
send it.
Other things.
Send it down and we'll do it for you. Anyway, you think radio's the way to go? Is there some local station there that
there's two local stations and a local newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, but if I don't hit all of it, I'm not going to cover all my bases.
That's right. Have you got transportation?
Yeah, I've got my parents live in the same town, and I've got a brother that lives here, too.
So you've got people that move you around. You've got a wife. Yeah. You got her working, though, don't you?
Well, actually, she's blind as well.
Oh, is she blind as well?
Visually impaired, yeah.
So she can't drive?
Nope.
Well, you need to find her a job. Maybe she'll support you till you get going. I love working wives. We're all for it, aren't we, Don?
Yeah. Maybe we should do the commercial to see if we get your wife on first.
It's interesting. Launching and starting to start, you know, you've made
startup business.
You've made a decision that you're not going to work for anybody, that you're going to start a business of your own, and you're going to support yourself by working on people's computers.
Right.
And that's what you're going to do in a town of 16,000 people.
Well, I'm also going to do a website.
Sure.
And some things like that, because I'd like to go national and get at least statewide. I'm going to try and put in for a couple of state contracts with either the VA or Voc Rehab.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that, you know, since you are completely certified, I'm sure you'll get some of that work, because they got to have people to go set up computers. But there's not a college in your town, though, is there?
There is an Ivy Tech, but, you know, it's just a community thing.
Well, they got to have technicians. They got to have people, too. So
is it too far away? I've got my resume in there.
Yeah.
So after working your brief stint with Freedom Scientific, which is your favorite screen reader?
I'll be honest, I don't have a favorite screen reader. I would just say one that works.
Which do you use?
I had Window Eyes for a while, and I wasn't gifted with the funds to keep my copy current.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I have JAWS right now, and I'm relatively happy with it.
Have they given you, they got you down to Florida and then laid you off? Did they give you a lifetime
membership
with JAWS?
No.
Yeah.
Do you really think they would do that? I just had to pay money to renew my SMA. So.
That's why we all love to share our JAWS copies with everyone.
Now, I'm not going to get into that discussion.
Well, let me ask you this. I have a new version of JAWS. It's 5. What is it, the latest? 5.0?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have that. And I got it like last November when it came out, or last October when it first came out. And I put it on my computer, and it called for a registration disk, of course, which they didn't send me. And your old registration disk won't work, or your old authorization disk won't work. So how do you register it now?
They didn't send you an authorization disk?
No.
What you need to do is you need to call technical support, and you need to ask them to look you up and have them process you an order for a new op disk.
I thought they were allowing you to register on to authorize online now.
Well, they were working on that, but it is still not.
It's never gotten off the ground, has
it? Well, that's funny, because everybody else, you know, everything else you buy, you can register online. Why can't you register? It's all right to knock Freedom Scientific. We don't mind. They don't pay us a dime.
That they're wanting to do.
Do what now?
It's not just a registration that they're wanting to do.
Yeah.
They're also wanting to lock your copy of JAWS to your specific computer. And if I read the documentation that I saw when I worked there properly, they were saying that they wanted a record of all components in that computer.
It's so not good.
A certified list of everything on your computer.
Not good.
Well, the fools were asking for it.
Why do they want
Big
that?
Big Brother.
I'm sorry?
Why do they feel like they need that?
Probably so they can look through it when they do support.
Yeah, not good. Okay. I wouldn't like that.
Well, I asked the guy.
Most people won't, and that's why I said it was kind of foolish for them to ask for it, because it's going to make a lot of people angry.
I asked the guy point blank. I said, now, I've got 4 computers, and I do. I've got 2 laptops, 1 in the studio and 1 in the house. And he said, that won't be a problem, Mr. Parr, sir. Will it?
Well, they should have it on record that you have 4 computers by now. You will just have to call them and get another code, because I think they only allow you 3 codes.
Yeah.
It used to be 5.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with the disk system, what they call the Quella system, which is the disk.
Yeah.
It did have 5 codes.
Yeah.
So.
But they have cut back, because I know we recently had gotten the XP Pro version at work, and they cut back to either 3 or 4 authorizations now.
Well, when you install it, what it'll do, when you install the authorization, it'll list the number remaining on the disk.
It will. It sure will. Tell you how many you've got.
But your old authorization disk will not work.
Yes, it will.
Well, they say it says it won't. I've got an authorization disk. I've got 3 or 4 of them, but none of them will work.
Well, maybe they're not authorized for 5.0.
They're not authorized for 5.0. So that's what
I
need to do.
That's probably the deal right
just
there.
Just call them and they'll send me a new authorization disk. Be glad to, won't they?
Yes.
Just beat me
well,
real.
Well, I don't even think they'll charge you if you explain to them that you ordered the...
Well, they, by God, won't charge me. No, there's no question about that. They won't charge me.
You ordered the version.
I bought it. Paid for it.
Right. You paid for it. So they should have sent you a new authorization disk.
That's right.
Or an update disk to reset your disk.
That's right.
So,
interesting. Well, they charge way too much. They're too high. I love JAWS, but it's the most expensive piece of software in the world. And I can say that, you know, they don't pay me a thing and I don't pay them. But it's the most expensive piece of software that I've ever seen in my life.
You've never looked at AutoCAD.
What is it? Looked at what?
AutoCAD for computer aided design.
Well, no, I don't.
Is that expensive?
Is that expensive?
$16,000 for 1 workstation license.
Whoa.
Well, I won't be needing that today.
I'm just trying to give you an idea of different things. I mean, I agree that for a person who may have a limited income, the price of adaptive technology is high.
Oh, you just can't. You can't do it.
Well, see, we don't mind, you know, started out Hunter Joyce and then Freedom Scientific making money. We happen to believe, though, here that any blind person in the United States, or even take it further, should be entitled to a copy of JAWS, the latest version, for free. Now, obviously, Freedom Scientific has to make money, so we think the government or somebody should pay for it. But because we agree with you, the limited income, and it hurts, and the people who need it the most, most of the time, are two or three versions behind.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I ran into that a lot. I actually ran into a few situations where it was almost occupational dependent.
Really?
For the person getting the upgrade.
Yeah.
And you, it's really a hard situation to be there working and, you know, trying to explain to this person that they need to upgrade and knowing that they're probably short on money and they can't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Students or anyone that doesn't have a state agency, man, the prices are just outrageous.
But they're that way for anything if you don't have the money for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you don't have the money, you're just...
Yeah, the world, life's not fair, and we all, you know, we've all learned that. Is you learned it the hard way, didn't you, big boy? Going down to Florida.
Yeah, man, that's a deal now.
What a deal. At least I considered several times moving for radio jobs, and radio is just as unstable as anything else. Mm-hmm. They'll work you 2 weeks, and if you don't have sterling ratings, they're liable to lay you off. Life is just, you know, but... Anyway, you're home back in Indiana, back home in Indiana where you belong.
Right.
In a town with your parents, and people may say, well, that's not good, but then...
Well, it is when your parents are getting up in years and you want to be near them.
It is when your parents are, you know, when your parents can offer you some help and some support.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with accepting that help and
exactly.
And support. I see nothing wrong with it. I want to give you a year, and I want to see in a year, I want to have you back. I'd like to write this date down. I'd like to think about this. Can I trust you to remember to call me in about a year from now at the end of May, and let's see how you're doing?
Yeah.
Just kind of check up on you, because, you know, what a neat thing to do.
Send me an email with your contact, your telephone number.
I'll do that. I'll get Don Shaw to send you an email with my, because my phone number is very easy. It's, you know, we give it at the end of every show. At the end of every show, we give the number. But I can send it to you.
I'll email it to you, Eric.
And I want to check with you in a year, and let's see how your business is going. Let's see how you did, because it's an interesting thing. You're on your own. You're going to try it on your own, and you'll do fine, sir. You have our blessings.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being a guest, and we'll visit with you in a year, and good luck. Eric Davis, our guest on the Blind, what show is this? This is Blind Handyman.
Handyman Show.
I get confused. Back in a minute, I know Pat's got something to talk about, so we'll be back in just a minute. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Houston Radio Reading Service, from the InTouch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation. And, of course, at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me. New times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young person and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea, and I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Well, okay. What an introduction.
I'd like to hear that.
Love that, ladies, but I'd like to hear that again.
I'd like to hear you say, thanks for listening. You know, I liked
one
it.
One more
thanks
time.
Thanks for listening. And now back to our
could
show
you
with...
one more time for yeah, us, could you,
one more
thanks
time.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you
Jan,
would like us to discuss,
up,
let us know
Jan,
at our address.
Shut up!
Okay, that's enough,
Jan. All right, Jan, that's enough.
Notice who she listened to there.
What a sweetheart. Huh?
What a sweetheart. She is a sweetheart. We need to have her on the show.
We do.
Anyway.
Well, okay, usually they call me up here when we want to kill some time. That's not what we're doing, is it, guys? Are we going to try to pass on some useful information?
You're as good a time killer as I've ever met.
That's right. There used to be a sign at one of the companies I worked for that said, if you're going to kill time, try working right. it to death.
So, yeah. What a deal.
Anyway, what I want to talk about, and maybe we could generate some interest on the list. I'd all like right. to get Don Shaw and everybody to see if we get any response.
Are you on the list?
I'm not on the list, but I'm going to be. I'm
1 year.
I finally have a working computer now, and I'm going to get on this list.
All right, we'd love to have you.
But anyway, Don Shaw and I have discussed, we're both partially sighted in varying degrees,
yes.
about whether a visually impaired, and we know it'd be very difficult for a totally blind person, but whether a partially sighted, good partially sighted, could use an edger, a gasoline or electric edging machine. This is a, you know, other as opposed to a weed eater. This is a machine that's dedicated to doing one thing, and it's edging the grass along the concrete
driveway
sidewalk,
etc.
And so this weekend, in conjunction with all of my yard work and landscaping and equipment purchasing that I've been, I
yeah,
looked at
really.
A couple of gasoline edgers. And so they range anywhere from, say, $200 to $300. I think you can buy a little two-cycle weed eater for about $100 and something, and then a good Sears Craftsman with a Tecumseh or Briggs & Stratton engine, maybe a three-horse for, you know, $300 and something dollars. And I'm sure the professionals, even more. I opted not to buy one at this time because there again we're back to this. I'm not sure if I could use it. I don't know. I didn't see any built-in guides, and outside of sheer visual acuity, I don't know how you would keep. In other words, the machine operates where it is up on the concrete or the surface, and the part that you're edging. Say if you were, the blade is offset to where it's going to be digging. Actually, what it does is it digs a little trench.
Yep.
And it cuts the grass out of this little trench. And but if you hit the blade with the concrete or something, I mean, you're, you know, flirting with either blade dullness or more damage.
Yeah, big time damage to the blade.
And I could not see on any of the models that I looked at.
But
I did not see any guides that would hold your machine.
That would allow you to run it along the edge of the concrete and hold it in a steady position.
Right.
But then it's like a table saw. Could have a guide, though. Seems like it could have
looks
one.
Like to me
should
it
have
well,
one that would rub against the
and
side
see,
of the concrete.
And see, I think that it, maybe even somebody could make one, but... So what got me interested, so I said, okay, let's say that the motorized or either electric or gas is out. What are my options?
Yeah.
Well, you know, two or three or four or 5 years ago, my good friend Don Shaw, for my birthday, one of my birthdays, bought me a machete. Just an old cane field, sugar cane chopping machete. You know,
yep.
I'm an army surplus. And I want to tell you, you can edge and you can edge beautifully with this, but it is work.
Oh.
And it's hard on your hands, and you're bent over, and
back.
I guarantee you will raise a blister. So I said, okay, I'm getting too old for that. What are my options? Well, I went to Lowe's and Home Depot. We won't play any favorite. And they make several types of edgers, and they're called foot edgers. And the first one I'll talk about is like, and they're all on a handle or a pole or a shaft. One of them is like a semicircle. It's the half of a circle. And it's a very sharp edge on that, and it has a lip at the top, what would be the diameter of the circle. And so you put it down by the between the grass and the concrete, and you can feel, we'll get into the how blind friendly this is in a minute. But anyway, and you press on this lip, it's like a parallel, or it's a 90 degree angle to the semicircle blade, the half circle blade, and it your foot, it makes a footrest, and you press down with all your, 150 or 200 pounds, and it will edge, it will cut that grass. And you just move along this edge, and you can really get a technique because of the shape of it, the half circle, and you can kind of roll it. I mean, you can kind of lean it over at a 45-degree angle, and then when you mash it down, it stands the handle up straight, and then you move over a little bit and do the same thing. You
really?
Can edge. I edged probably, 70 or 80 feet of concrete in probably, 20 minutes. And
that's not bad.
It wasn't real. Now, it depends on the condition of your lawn. If it's old lawn and hadn't been edged in a while, it would take you longer. But let's just say it took you a good long while. If you edged the same place two or three times, I guarantee you it's not going to be bad.
You know, that might be the just thing to have around that pool deck.
And so it would, and I said, okay, could a totally blind person do this standing up?
Well,
and
yeah.
Yes, you can. I closed my eyes, and you can find the edge of the concrete. And after you get it down and push it down once, you just kind of move it. And in this one, it's this lip puts the blade kind of at an offset. So, and you use the lip toward you with the blade, and so it always hugs the edge of the concrete.
Really?
Now, they make another one. It's a foot edger. It's just a straight edge. It reminds you of a hoe without the handle coming in at the 90-degree angle. In other words, it's just a shaft, a handle, with this square, straight blade. That, like I said, it looks like the part of a hoe on the end of it. And you mash that down with your foot. Now, it doesn't have the lip. And it might be for smaller, and of course, the top edge of it is skinnier. And so I see how that might be uncomfortable.
I'd want the one with the lip on it, though, would be the.
And so then they make another one that's kind of a fold-up device, and it has a big kind of oval-shaped blade. And it has a very big platform when you fold it out. I saw this at Lowe's for my first time, and I'm not sure what they call it. But you can actually stand up on, you can put almost your whole weight
on
it and scoot it along. But anyway, talking about generating, conversation for the list, if anybody, any partially sighted or otherwise people out there have ever tried an edger, I've never tried one.
Never have either.
Had any luck, I'd be interested in your comments.
I'd like to see your step on.
Okay,
edges.
I have.
Bring
one.
It.
Yeah, bring it. I'd like to see it too.
I'd like to look at it. Maybe because I have. I can't. You did it. Good description, but I haven't. I'm quite got it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Well, and also in conjunction with this, Lowe's. It was a fascinating. I found a little set of garden tools that you can buy one handle and then all of the attachments.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And you can get the leaf rake, you can get the rock or landscape rake.
They go in a bag.
And they fit in this little handle. And you can buy a long handle, or if you were visually impaired or totally blind and wanted to edge. Like, say, if you didn't want to use the machete, you can put this half circle on a short handle, and you could actually sit down or kneel down. And, of course, it's going to take brute strength and weight. But, my dear mother worked. She loved her gardens, her flower gardens, and her best position was sitting down. She would get her gloves on and get her place when she was weeding with her, pulling grass up by hand and sitting down. So you can edge, like I say, with my machete. I've edged, and you kind of sit down or kneel down. But anyway, this little set of tools is real neat, and it's, to me, edging with a foot edger or a manual edger is real blind friendly.
But you could, Tom in his wheelchair could just slip along there and edge it.
It could do,
you
yeah.
You better believe it.
And then also
could
there's
you?
One other edger
I
that I didn't mention, and it's a manual thing, but it has a little wheel that rides along the concrete and a little cog that turns.
That'd just be cool. Fixing to ask about that. Now, those I've seen 10 or 15 years ago and used one a little bit, but
uh-huh.
Man, those now, if the ground's really dry, really are some work now.
Well, see, and that's what I thought, and I told Emily the problem. I would love to try it, but I didn't love it $37
yeah.
worth.
If the ground's wet, they work okay.
Yeah.
But if it's dry, like in the summer, mm-hmm. forget it, man.
But I believe.
But once you'd done it, the second time would be mm-hmm. much easier, right?
Yeah, but also, like I say, that's going to be the same thing with the foot edger. I mean, you can really make some ground after you've done it one time. You
yeah.
can just go
oh, yeah.
back and
sure.
get over there on Allendale, Don. I did it all along that front curb with the machete.
Yeah.
And that was hard. I raised a couple of really good blisters.
Oh, I'm sure.
But after I did it the first time, it was easier right. the next
yeah.
time.
So oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Any blind people who have any input on edgers, we'd see, either send it to the list or email us at blindhandyman at, what is it?
At hotmail.com.
We'd like to read it on the show. And I tell you, with rap music, it's interesting to find out how many words rhyme with ho. That's what I was
well,
laughing about.
That's another option.
That's what I was laughing about.
Yeah, yeah. There's you, another edging
there's
option.
Another edging
uh-huh.
Because you might need
I've hurt my knee now and I can't walk. Anyway,
because you might need more than one of those.
We've done another 81 show here.
Another one, Dad.
Our thanks to Don Patterson, I think, and Don Shaw.
Yep.
Good. Edgers. That's a good show.
Edgers.
Tom Houston
yes,
with
sir,
us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll see y'all next time, show number 82. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.